Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jason Nagel, discussing the return of English Premier League football. But yet to do so with me is the ever-present Chadley Nagel, as well as Joshua Gaylord. Gentlemen, a couple of derbies to look forward to, a couple of big derbies. We've got the North London derby as well as the Manchester derby, but eight other fixtures to look forward to this weekend, Chad.
Yeah, I'm just so excited that the international break is finally over, and now we get to see real football. And like you said, there's some cracking contests to get excited about, some mouth-watering derbies, and I just can't wait.
Mm. I pretty much enjoyed some of the international football. We got to see some of the players prepare themselves and the managers prepare their sides for the World Cup, which is obviously exciting. But it's lovely to watch club football. It's much more polished. It's much more intense. And at least we get a full complement of fixtures this time round.
Yeah.
We were a little bit shortchanged last time.
It's just staying on the international break and what you saw from Josh. Early favourites for the World Cup?
It has to be Brazil for me. Mm. I'm not too sure what the betting is right now.
Brazil are favourites.
They are the favourites. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think Brazil have to take it. They look the most menacing or the most dangerous at the moment from all of the squads.
Let's turn our attentions back to this weekend's action. Chad, of course, up first we see the biggest game of the season for both Arsenal and Tottenham. This is the biggest game for them. That's the North London derby. Josh and I would tell you as Arsenal supporters that as soon as you know the fixture list comes out, we mark our calendars October 1st, and I'm not too sure when the second one is.
January 2030, if I'm not mistaken.
You see, that calendar's probably open.
Could be
right now. But yeah, this game means the world to both Arsenal and Tottenham fans. Chad, how do you see it? Of course, these are two of your rivals, being a Chelsea supporter.
Yeah, but these are two teams that are on the up, two teams that would certainly like to mount a title charge this season. There's a lot of confidence in both camps. A lot of talk before the ball was kicked about Tottenham. Tottenham Hotspur looking like, you know, this could be their year with Antonio Conte having his first full season. Is this the year they get to break their trophy drought? And but then at the same time, Arsenal have improved. They've arguably overachieved somewhat. They look very good, very polished. Lots of confidence in the team. Some fantastic young players. There's a nice blend of youth and experience in the team. A nice mix. I just think this one has fireworks, and I think that's what we'll see on Saturday. I think it's a nice way to start off the Premier League, the round of the Premier League. And honestly, just can't wait to just sit back and watch this game. What I do know, according to the head-to-head stats, the home team normally come out on top in this fixture. Mm-hmm. And with the game being played at the Emirates Stadium, Arsenal, with all the quality that they have going forward, especially with the fact that Antonio Conte likes his teams to sit back, he likes, you would say, suffer without the ball. Mm. I think they are going to do that. I think they're going to suffer without the ball. And I think certain teams you just can't afford to allow to play. Yeah, because when they get going, then they just, the confidence is there, the quality is there, and they end up scoring the goals, especially with Gabriel Jesus up front. I go with Arsenal to win the game.
You know, Josh, I've had time to think about this fixture now. Of course, it has been a long break, you know, since the last time we saw Premier League football being kicked. But I've had time to think about this fixture. I've had time to think about where Arsenal are at the moment. And I'm not too sure how you feel, but after that defeat against Manchester United, it seems like ages ago now, how we responded against Brentford and then went into the international break with some injuries, of course, to mention the likes of Partey and Zinchenko, who were so crucial in our first six or seven games. I just feel like, quite contradictory to what I've been saying before, but I feel like this team actually is going to be in the title race. And it's probably thinking, where has this confidence come? What have I done during the international break? I'll make this my best bet this weekend. I feel like Arsenal will trounce Tottenham, win convincingly from the first minutes to the end. Chad mentioned the word suffer. I think it's going to be more than that. I feel like this could be Arsenal's statement if they haven't already made that this season.
I have to come in and say something about Tottenham, because you guys are both just praising Arsenal, and not that they don't deserve the praise. I mean, they do. But this fixture is super interesting or exciting.
Okay, then back to you, Chad.
This fixture is super interesting, exciting. I mean, it's one of the biggest derbies in the world, arguably. Last season, we know how it ended. The rivalry, again, just 1 point, it was painful as an Arsenal supporter. As well as, like what Chad touched on a little bit, it's like tactics on opposite ends of the world. One team is proactive, one team is reactive, and it's interesting to see how that will play out. But I think Arsenal are able to stretch. Look, when a team is reactive, when they drop into that low block and all of that, more often than not, it's seen as, what's the word I'm looking for? It's seen as like weakness, basically, or too much respect for the opponents. But Conte is able to, he makes that weakness that most people look at as a strength. The only thing, and for me, what I feel always wins a fixture more often than not, I mean, off air we were talking about it a bit, is midfield battles. And by simply outnumbering Tottenham in a midfield battle, Arsenal can get this fixture going. We can't be, we have to be switched on at every given moment. The counter attack with Kane and Son is deadly. We know how Kane loves to score in this fixture. Even when we dominate fixtures like, when Arsenal dominate fixtures like they did last season at the Emirates, Kane still managed to find the back of the net. So they have to stay switched on for the counter. And with that back five, if we're able to stretch the defense, and one thing that I did pick up recently was against Fulham, I think it was, they tried to come at us as well, but then they eventually dropped into that low block and we were able to stretch the defense. If we're able to stretch the defense and get those passes in behind, more often than not, the cutback will get the goal for us. But I think Arsenal get this victory.
I'm going to give our punters a massive value bet to take here. And I hope Coach Tite watches this one. You mentioned Brazil being the favorites. Gabriel Martinelli and Gabriel Jesus to both score, as well as Arsenal to win. They're going to come up against Richarlison. This is the guy who's got their place in the national team. He scored a couple of goals. Martinelli and Jesus have a point to prove. It's all set up. It's Emirates Stadium. Jesus is first, North London Derby. Martinelli's scored against just about everyone I can think of. He scored in the London Derby against Chelsea. He scored against Liverpool. He's done it all. So I feel like those two to score. A lot of confidence coming from my camp, but yeah, all in agreement. Tottenham win. Arsenal win.
Arsenal win. Yeah.
I hope that doesn't play out as an omen, and now we've just got to go double chance. No, I'm joking. Bournemouth against Brentford, Josh.
I think Brentford have a lot to prove. Like we just came off of Arsenal. Arsenal came and dominated them in their own backyard. And like I mentioned at the end of the podcast last time, Ivan Toney enjoyed his kickabout with the boys. but yeah, I think Brentford have a point to prove. I don't think that they will struggle to bounce back. Ivan Toney went on the bus with England and he didn't even get to strap his boots on. I think he comes into this game wanting to prove a point, like we just mentioned with Martinelli and Gabriel Jesus as well, needing to prove a point to their respective countries. Ivan Toney, for me, anytime goal scorer against Bournemouth. Bournemouth haven't looked the best. They've suffered some heavy setbacks so far this season. And Brentford get this victory here for me.
Your thoughts, Chen?
I'm going to agree with Josh on that one. I think Ivan Toney as an anytime scorer is definitely worth looking at. I think Brentford, obviously they would have been disappointed with that result against Arsenal. A lot of neutrals would have wanted to see more fight from them, from Brentford. But you know what, it didn't go their way. It was just a poor performance on the whole. And I think away to Bournemouth is a perfect opportunity to bounce back and get points back on the board. And I think they have the quality to do so. They have a striker in Ivan Toney who's in red hot form, and I think they will come away with maximum points here.
Crystal Palace against Chelsea. I feel like this is going to be a good test for Graham Potter. I'm not too sure how his record is against Patrick Vieira, but Patrick Vieira seems to do quite well against the big six or the top opposition in the league. Chad,
yes. So
Potter's first game.
I'm not too sure about how Potter's record is against Patrick Vieira, but I can tell you about Chelsea's record against Crystal Palace. Chelsea have won the last 10 in a row against Crystal Palace.
Home and away.
Home and away, which is impressive to me. I mean, 10 wins in a row, when you beat any team in the Premier League, in the Premier League, 10 times in a row, then that becomes, I want to say daily bread, but Chelsea just have a fantastic record against Palace. But at the same time, we're coming back from the international break. Chelsea's When you have a squad like Chelsea's, their players were all scattered all over. Mm. Graham Potter had probably the most of his work was done with the fringe players and the academy boys. So it's not the amount of time he would have liked, but he's been there a while now, and surely he would have found the formation, the setup, how he wants his team to play. I think he's a top manager, and I think he's gonna do well. If he does manage to get Chelsea fighting for fourth spot, there's many that have written him off of that. If Chelsea are able to get into the top four, they need to win immediately, and this game it needs to happen right now.
Taking what Chad said into consideration, Josh, Potter hasn't had, you know, a full international break to coach his best players, whereas Crystal Palace, Patrick Vieira, he's been there for a while now. He's been there for a couple of seasons now, and his players didn't go on international break. They've had a longer break because their game against Brighton was also postponed before the break. So he's got his work cut out for him. He knows exactly what the plan is for Chelsea. He's played against Potter. He's played against Chelsea. He can sort of combine the two and sort of see what they can conjure up. It could possibly be an upset, yeah.
I mean, if you read the soccer betting newspaper, one of our writers, Ryan Liberty, did tip the double chance in favor of Crystal Palace. Mm. But for me, I think that the quality does shine through in this fixture. Yes, Crystal Palace is a tough place to go to for any side in the Premier League. And they've had some decent results this season. I mean, not getting over the line.
Unfortunate results also and good performances. Like, they took a 2-0 lead against
City.
Yeah.
I mean, and they... Games like against Newcastle, I think against Brentford, I think against Liverpool as well. Yeah. They managed to get the draws, just not managing to get over the line. And I think in that regard, Chelsea's quality gets them over the line. Even though going to Selhurst Park, the crowd's on your back, and you know that Palace are always on it, regardless of who's in front of them. But I feel like Chelsea's quality does shine in this fixture.
Tough game up next, Fulham against Newcastle. Mitrovic is in red hot form. We saw him banging in goals even in the international break for Serbia. Played on the same pitch as Haaland and outscored him. So make of that what you will. But yeah, Josh, Fulham against Newcastle.
This
could be one of your anytime goal scorer bets coming into play. You've done that with Ivan Toney.
I mean, yeah, Mitrovic, I think he's just behind, Haaland. Haaland is miles ahead at the moment. But Mitrovic is that guy. He's been able to prove himself in this Premier League. Mm. And Craven Cottage is a weird stadium. It's difficult for the managers to get their points across quick enough in the change room, having to run off the field to get in the halftime talk. But Newcastle, they're well structured. They're able to grind out results. I'm inclined to believe a draw in this fixture. They will be or should be missing Alexander Isak, who's been a dream for them for the past couple of fixtures. But they have other players who can fit in. The set piece on any away ground is key, and Kieran Trippier is a magician with that. But I'm inclined to back the draw in this one.
Yeah, I think it's should be an entertaining game of football. I think both teams will attack. Go out all out and attack, and I think we should see some goals in this one. I think both teams to score is worth looking at. You know, like Josh mentioned, Alexander Isak, just what a massive blow that is for Newcastle. I think had he started the game, I probably would have been more confident in a Newcastle win, because they are aiming to get back into Europe, even a top six spot. That is the objective for Eddie Howe. But I just think Fulham, they deserve respect. They've punched above their weight for a newly promoted side. They do have quality, and we've seen it. We've mentioned the likes of Alexander Mitrovic, who's even scoring, taking his goal-scoring form in the league onto international duty. I think Fulham, I know I said both teams to score is probably the safest bet, but I think... Fulham win, draw, double chance is worth the punt. And for me, that's where I'll put my money.
I like that both teams to score market. In fact, funny enough, that's the first time we've mentioned it four games in. But yeah, Liverpool against Brighton. possible banker. Well, on paper, it should be the possible banker of the weekend, but Brighton have been punching well above their weight. Of course, now Graham Potter, now, but the new coach is very highly rated as well. So, I don't know. It's tricky, but I want to see Don back. So I don't know if I should just go all in on Liverpool.
All in on Liverpool, I'm not sure. I know you said this looks like the banker bid of the Premier League.
On paper.
On paper. Even though it's on paper, yes, I understand that. But games are not won on paper. We've seen how Liverpool have been this season. I honestly, looking at this whole set of fixtures this round, I can't label one banker. I really can't.
Arsenal-Tottenham.
Like, well, Arsenal, I'm very confident in Arsenal, but I can't look and say this team is a certainty.
We're going to get to another banker on Sunday. So there's two banks.
Look, Liverpool, with all the negative around Anfield right now.
That's the thing. There isn't negativity. There's just
struggling to find the back of the net, in my opinion. They are creating a lot of chances.
Everyone I've spoken to, or everyone on social media, they seem like, okay, yeah, but jolly good time.
You're looking at Twitter, though.
The mood in the
Anfield camp isn't...
No, I don't think they're happy. But, yeah. I mean, I don't think they're like looking at Jurgen Klopp and questioning whether he's the right man for the job, or questioning certain players' ability. Salah's scored, like, once? This season.
Well, look, majority.
So I don't think anything has been questioned.
But majority of Liverpool fans will all, I'm sure, like come out and say, "No, Jurgen Klopp, fantastic manager, stick with him." But there is a minority. There is a small group out there that have started voicing their opinions, mm-hmm. that like getting, and it's just frustrations. Yes, take it with a pinch of salt. We expect Klopp to be there, but there's just
Thomas Tuchel's available,
and he's replaced him at twice already in his career. But I just think that there's just a lot of negativity, and yes, a lot of people are putting it down on injuries, and I'm not saying that's not the case, but then there's also, you have to look at individual performances. Surely, a player like Trent Alexander-Arnold is not in the right frame of mind, having to listen to Gareth Southgate's comments about how he's not even second behind Reece James for that right back spot. He's even behind Kieran Trippier. So, like, you know, all of that, it doesn't help. Trent's already been struggling to defend for Liverpool. They've lost games. They've dropped points. They were hit 4-1 by Napoli. I just think, well, this is the time to respond, and I think it's a must-win game for Jurgen Klopp.
I thought you were going to call an upset.
No, I just think that you just have to pay respect to Brighton. Mm. But I think this is a game that I would stay away from. I wouldn't have a bet. If I were to have a punt, I'd probably back the draw.
Well, it sounded so silly a couple of weeks ago. Liverpool at home to Brighton, you're saying, no, don't have a punt.
No, I think for me, Liverpool take this victory. Yeah. I know you mentioned the stuff about Trent and Alexander-Arnold. I was listening to something not just in the week about how when Beckham got his red card a while back and England were on him, he basically got them knocked out of the World Cup. And a call from the manager, that's what sets him straight. Everybody at United, they are behind him. And I think Klopp has always come out and defended Trent. I think him going back to the club, that's where you'll feel most at home. Yes, it's not the best getting that kind of response from your national team. But if you go back to your stadium, if the crowd's behind you, his confidence will still be there. That's where he's idolized.
Fair point.
And I think that at Anfield, it's always a tough game for any team as well. Chelsea, like we mentioned, Chelsea being in a must-win situation, Liverpool are in that must-win situation. Mm. And I think both these clubs are able to get these victories this weekend.
Another Liverpool team, or Merseyside team, under Everton, they travel to St. Mary's to face a tricky Southampton.
Tricky Southampton, but I've been very impressed with Everton. I think, while, you know, we can come out and criticize coaches, and we didn't hold back with Frank Lampard a couple of weeks back, I think we had to also come and pay and, you know, just give him some credit for the job that he's done. A great turnaround. You see the fight in those players, the way they play, and even the games where they drop points, like before the impressive win over Liverpool, you know, they were just the performances. You could see that the improvements. It was continuous. It was like they were improving game after game after game. And I just think now they have a team that has belief. I think they They trust the manager. They have good players. Obviously, Ajisa Guy has come in now. He fits like a glove.
He's 20 years older, but I mean, but he's still
quality. But I actually like Onana in midfield. I think they've got steel. Everton in midfield. They've got players who are skillful in Gordon. Iwobi looks like honestly, Lampard deserves credit alone just for Iwobi. Looks like such a fantastic midfield. I didn't think I'd ever say that about Iwobi. So, Everton, while, yes, Southampton's tricky, going to St. Mary's, you never know what to expect. They can either go all well for them or they can end up losing 9-0, as we've seen. So, I just think Everton are the team that, yes, there's been a break, which is kind of disrupts their momentum, but they are confident. They would have belief with the quality that they have, and I think that they are worth backing this weekend.
Before we move on to the Manchester derby on Sunday, the one final game on Saturday, Josh, West Ham against Wolves. Your thoughts there?
Another tricky fixture. I mean, West Ham haven't had.
We're going to say that about all 10 games.
I know. All these games this weekend, all of these games this weekend are. It's so difficult. But I feel like David Moyes, he's rebuilt himself and gotten a lot more respect, and he's been back this season. Whereas Wolves, on the other hand, yes, they've brought in a new striker that's proved himself in this league, but is a lot more aged in Diego Costa. And I feel that at home, at the London Stadium, the players that I can't say depth, but there's even options up front for West Ham.
Yeah.
Antonio is fighting for a position against Skamaka. And they've got the wingers and the fullbacks that bring a lot of quality as well. For me, I'm backing West Ham. Yeah, I know it hasn't been a decent start for them this season. But
the international break could have been their turnaround.
Against Wolves, they can get a victory.
I stand to be corrected, but I think that Diego Costa scored his first Chelsea goal against West Ham.
No use giving us that chat if you stand to be corrected. But yeah, we'll have to double check that. Of course, you back your knowledge. I back your knowledge. But yeah, Manchester derby time, possibly the biggest fixture of the weekend, depending, you know, how red or blue your heart is this weekend. But yeah, Manchester City hosting Manchester United. We've seen this fixture go heavily one-sided, heavily surprised. When we think the chips are down for Man United, they just come out on top and just, you know, knock Manchester City off the park. But one certainty in this fixture, Chad, is that this game will be won by a bald manager.
I did not expect you to say that.
In fact, no, it's not true. They could draw.
Well,
but the bald managers will get points.
Look, I just think what's the easy thing to do? City at the Etihad, so easy to say. Manchester City all day long, especially now with Erling Haaland. I think we'll find ourselves saying that a lot this season in as we do our weekly podcast. But I just think Manchester United have shown time after time after time that you can never ever write them off, especially in this game where they turn up. I think it could be 5 wins from 7 or at the Etihad. It's some remarkable stat like that. They've been that impressive, but let's not forget they are also the form team in the league, having won their last four league games in a row. So, you know, they're full of confidence as they always are going into a Manchester derby. But, you know, they would know that they've got some results. They've added quality to their squad on deadline day. So, you know, this could be a tricky test. I think the key battle in this fixture that I'm most excited or most intrigued to see is definitely...
Don't say Lissandro Martinez.
I do. I want to say Lissandro Martinez and Erling Haaland, because I unfairly criticized Lissandro Martinez before he even kicked the ball. I just looked at his height and wrote him off, which was wrong of me, because he proved me wrong. He proved that despite his size, he gets those balls and he's a warrior and he makes it very difficult for strikers. I just struggle to see how he copes with the beast of Erling Haaland, who's such a physical presence, so powerful. You know, he's mobile. He's got everything. So that's the key battle that I want to see.
You know what Erik ten Hag did say in the build-up to this match? He said, which surprised me a bit. In fact, I don't know if it was more mind games or what, so just to sort of throw Manchester City, Pep Guardiola and their tactics a bit off, was that Erik ten Hag said to beat a team with Manchester City, to beat a team with Erling Haaland, you have to dominate possession. I can't see him doing that this weekend, Josh. I don't know if that's going to be the plan. In fact, he hasn't even been able to do that in the four wins that Chad mentioned. So how would he then do it against probably the best team in Europe for me? So it's a strange one.
Best team in Europe at maintaining possession. he's more than likely just trying to throw off Pep Guardiola, who we know tends to overthink things a lot. Yeah. But I doubt he tends to overthink it against Manchester United.
Just plain and simple. Just throw them on the pitch.
No, it's just funny when you say Pep Guardiola overthinks. I remember when the old question was in the Champions League final against Chelsea, and he was like, which defensive midfielder? And he's like, no, I'm not going to play none of them.
So there you have it. He does tend to switch up his tactics. Overthink.
Overcoach.
Overcoach. All of those things. In terms of maintaining position, City will maintain position, yeah. We saw how Man United were playing prior to the beginning of the season. They were trying to play out of the back, find spaces or create triangles on the wings in those off spaces. But then they came into the league and tried that, and Brentford knocked them for four. But they have bounced back since, but bounced back because they've decided to change that and not play that way. So City do dominate possession in this fixture, like Arsenal will in the North London derby. But the efficiency up front from Manchester City wins this fixture. It just takes two chances, not your three or four chances, to get a goal. On the counter, United could pose a threat. They have shown that they're capable of doing that. Rashford somehow has reawoken. A lot of his big fans stopped supporting him along the way, and now he seems to be shining again. And they have a good midfield that can not go toe to toe, but disrupt some of Manchester City's play. It's whether do they play Casemiro to disrupt it in an aggressive way, or do they play McTominay and pass it around?
If they bench Casemiro for this game.
It's a difficult one.
It's not impossible. Yes. We've seen Scott McTominay being favoured.
He definitely has been favoured and praised by Erik ten Hag on many occasions so far. So it's whether they choose to disrupt the play.
Erikson is at six. So
Erikson's been so good.
So I don't know.
Yeah, they do have a midfield, and they do have options on how to play with different players. For me, I still back City in this one. Not cut and dry like most City fixtures are, but City's efficiency up front gets the win.
I make this my second best bet of the weekend. Arsenal.
The two derbies.
I feel like it will be two one-sided derbies. I feel like those are the two easiest games to call. As you guys were mentioning, Bournemouth, Brentford, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Fulham, Newcastle.
10 games in a row. You still like these two big games.
I feel like these two games are, you know, they're the supposedly hardest to call, but I can't see this Man United team.
Both teams at home as well.
Yeah, both teams are at home, and both teams are first and second on the table. Arsenal have won all their home games. Man City, I think they've won all their home games. I'm not too sure. But Man United, I just can't see them standing, for 90 minutes with Manchester City. We say this we've said this before and we've been wrong before. Well, I certainly have. But this time, Manchester City have got the tools to stop the counter-attack. They've got Rodri, Cancelo speed to stop those long balls over the top, Ruben Dias and Akanji. And whether it's Ake players or whoever it is, they're still well-equipped to deal with the threat that Man United pose. Man United strikers haven't been prolific. Rashford, you mentioned him. He's scored in a couple of games only. He's gone missing for four, and I think he's scored in just two games.
But he's able to irritate the defense.
It just so happened that it's meant to be a brace defense. And a brace or whatever it was. But Manchester City...
You don't want to give credit.
No, I genuinely don't. I think they were second best against Arsenal, and maybe it's...
Oh, without a doubt.
Maybe I'm sounding bitter, but I can't see this team challenging Manchester City. But yeah, that's just me. I guess I'm biased, and I hate Man United, so... That's that. Two more games to just quickly touch on. I see we're running out of time. Josh, Leeds against Aston Villa.
both teams to score. I remember last season was like six goals in one of the fixtures.
That's every Leeds game.
But yeah, Aston Villa haven't been the best defensively. Neither have Leeds. They do miss Rodrigo up front. He came into some excellent form. Not too sure what the likes of his fitness is right now. But both teams to score for me in this fixture. I'd put a lot of money on that one.
Chan?
Both teams to score seems like the safest bet. Yeah.
Leicester against Nottingham Forest. Josh, we had a discussion off air in the week. I can't remember which day it was, but you said that Leicester, this could be their turnaround.
Yeah, James Maddison, he's been... He hasn't dropped off, in my opinion. Yes, he had an injury not too long ago. And when he did get back into the swing of things, he's looked great. And although I'm extremely shocked that Rodgers hasn't gotten the sack now before the international break, they obviously are backing him.
Yeah.
They haven't backed him in the market.
And now's his chance to show why.
Yes. There's a good couple of fixtures before the World Cup, and you can't fire him now.
Yeah. I think his reputation is saving him.
Definitely.
And Leicester's reputation is probably saving theirs as well.
Yeah, and they have players who can carry them. They have players who are match winners. James Maddison is one of them. Unfortunately, Vardy's losing what he used to have.
Mm-hmm.
But there are Pats and Daka in Nacho. Those strikers up front can also give Nottingham Forest a big run. And although I backed Nottingham Forest to stay up this season, that transfer window was shocking, crazy. And it's hard to make so many people and personalities gel on the field, even for the best managers, in my opinion.
Some PSL stuff that happened with their transfer.
I enjoy the PSL.
Behave.
Leicester City, I think that it's as much, and the value is there. I'm backing Leicester City.
Yeah, I think it's shocking, Leicester City, the start to the season that they've had. But I do expect them to pick up their first victory of the season. It's crazy that they win this going into Game Week 8.
Yeah.
So I think Leicester City, I back the Foxes to win the game in dominant fashion.
Best bet this weekend, Chad?
Leicester, Arsenal and Chelsea.
Josh?
Liverpool, Arsenal and Leicester.
So when I say Arsenal, it's a problem, but you guys can just casually slot Arsenal in the tables and stuff. But yeah, so glad it's back. Man, I miss the Premier League. And hopefully it doesn't disappoint, gentlemen. Until next week.
Cheers.